Well, you might be able to imagine that when I opened up the lectionary to see what readings were in store for me this Sunday, how excited I was to find the binding and sacrifice of Isaac, a very confusing and meandering argument out of Romans from Paul, and a very brief and confusing gospel reading. Good thing it's a holiday weekend, right? I'll be honest, I know the lectionary repeats every 3 years. I know I preached on this passage 3 years ago, these passages 3 years ago. I wish I could remember something that I said, because I'll tell you what, I had a hard time this week. This is, you hear me talk in sermons previous, if you've been here, about how I, like anyone else, share in the doubts and the struggles of what it means to wrestle with these things of God. I will tell you, I come before you this morning with a whole lot of conflict as I prepared for this morning. I grew up hearing the story of Abraham's sacrifice of Isaac. I mean, I remember reading it many times. I remember hearing the story. This idea that God is going to test Abraham, and he's going to send him out to take his only son, the son whom was the child of the promise of God to Abraham in the covenant just a few chapters earlier. And he's like, now that we've made this covenant, now that you have this son that you've been waiting your whole life for in your old age, you have. Now go and sacrifice him to me on this mountain that I will show you. And he takes the wood and the fire, and he leads him up onto a mountain. And on the way up, his poor son is like, Dad, what are we doing? Because all the stuff for a sacrifice is here except that which is being sacrificed. And God waits until the child is bound and laid, you know, on the altar before he stopped. At the end of this passage, we say, the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. I've read this story so many times, and I don't know why it took until now for me to realize that I don't know if there's a harder passage I've ever been asked to preach on. Where is the good news? Where is the light? Where is the hope in a story like this? I could give the traditional response, right? You know, well, you know, God was testing. God never intended for him to go through with it, all of these things. And look, at the end, he spared Isaac, and everything worked out great in the end. It's like, I don't know about you, that does not satisfy like maybe it once did for me. The thing that I keep coming back to is I can't help but wonder if on that night when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right, and he's asked his disciples to stay up with him and pray, and he's just praying to God kind of in agony, like, Lord, take this cup from me. I can't help but wonder if he wasn't thinking of this story. You know, there was another time, Lord, where you asked a father to give up his son, and you spared him at the last moment. Are you too going to spare me? It's easy to forget that our tradition, our gospel, our good news passes through pain and suffering and death before it gets to life and resurrection. We've done a pretty good job. I know I've done a pretty good job living our lives kind of in our culture and our society now that, let's be honest, is pretty comfortable by and large compared to the rest of the world. If you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about suffering and the reality. Nope, that's not true. I was on vacation. That was where I was preaching somewhere else. So never mind. You don't know that sermon. That won't help here. Anyway, a couple weeks ago, I preached the gospel. I preached a sermon on suffering and this reality that it exists in our lives. And it's a part of life. It's a part of every one of our lives. We do so much to try to escape suffering and death. We do so much to try to make this life easier for us, and especially for our children and for our loved ones. And yet it finds us wherever we are. The question of suffering, the question of pain, the question of need, the question of death has to be faced by all of us, no matter how young or old we are. And from the very first chapters of our scriptures, it is presented full bore for us to wrestle with, to be confused by, to be angered by, and ultimately to find peace in. We are a people who believe that God was willing to do anything and everything for us, knowing that we did not have the power in ourselves to save ourselves, sent his Son to be here among us and with us, to show us what it means to live life, to show us what it means to love and to live life to its fullest as we were created to be as God's children. And in the face of that righteousness, we could not handle that reality. And in our rebellion, we handed him over to death on the cross. The trajectory of our gospel, I think, brings us through and to this point in Genesis. It asks us, what are we going to do with things that don't make any sense to us? What are we going to do with things that seem like they must be wrong? There must be no sense to be made out of this. I don't know about you, but I know I run into times far more often than I would like, where I find myself asking why, being confused as to how our world could possibly work the way it does, how the things that happen could possibly happen around us, how I can have the power in me to hurt the people around me so deeply. We come through suffering and death, and on the other side, find life. Reconciliation and forgiveness, healing and wholeness, mercy and grace. That is the line that we are called and drawn across. It's the whole thing when it comes to our gospel. When it comes to our religion, when it comes to our faith, what we are about is not living the best life we possibly can. It's not doing all the right things. It's not going to church and being a good Christian. It's not any of that stuff. It's about being reminded and being convinced ultimately by the Spirit of God that we are okay, that we are forgiven, that God is there and knows you and knows me, knows our hearts, knows all the stuff that's in there that we want to hide from, that we want to pretend doesn't live there. All the stuff that we hold on to, all of our questions and our rage and our anger and our joy and our peace and our suffering. God looks at us and he says, I take the whole package. I don't need you to sort this part out before you're ready for me. I don't need you to work out this thing over here and then you'll be ready to be my child. I don't need you to do this thing over there and then you'll be forgivable and then you'll be lovable and then you'll be welcome in my kingdom and at my table. Now, God looks at us as we are right now. What this service is about today and every week is to be reminded and to hear the voice of God calling out to each and every one of us saying, wherever you are today, whatever burdens, whatever suffering, whatever pain you carry with you, God sees you as you are and loves you and will never love you more than God does right now. You are God's children. God loves you desperately. God has and will continue to do everything for you. It's not going to make sense all of the time. It's going to hurt too much of the time. But on the other side of all of it, the final word is resurrection. The final word is life. The final word is the stay of the hand. The gospel, the cross, the resurrection, it is about calling us into a life of freedom. The life that we have been created to live. The life that the Holy Spirit puts on your hearts and calls you into day after day. I encourage you, I implore you, in times like this, in those quiet spaces, or maybe those chaotic spaces in your life, I invite you just to try and open your heart and hear where God is calling you. God will call you into really weird places. God might even call you into horrific places like Abraham. But I promise you, God will be with you through all of it. God will be there from beginning through it all to the end. And will be there with you, calling the people of God to gather around you and to be there to support you and to love you. The promise of God in this place, in this gospel, in who we are as the people of God, is that you need never fear, be alone. For your God and the people whom worship that God are with you and love you and are here for you. Whatever you've brought with you today, I invite you to lay it down at the altar. Know that you are invited and encouraged to come and be a part of our communion celebration today. Know that there is nothing that can ever bar you from it, because God has done everything that you might always be free to come to this table. Don't let anyone tell you that you're not ready or that you need to do something before you're worthy of this table. Especially don't let yourself lie to you about like that. Please know that in the work of the cross and the resurrection, in the story and the reality of our gospel, this is here for you. It is open and freely given. There's nothing you can or need do to prepare. We simply, as God's children, open our hands up, open our hearts up to receive. And while I don't know what to do with some of these readings, I don't know what to do with some of these stories, what I do know is that week in and week out, day in and day out, I come to this table and I find the grace, the peace, and the love that God promises I will find there. And I'm still surprised every week. Because how crazy is that, right? How insane is it that we gather together in this room, in this space? We come to this table made of wood. We place bread or something that is reminiscent of bread and wine on the altar. I say a blessing and a prayer over it, and we eat it together, and we are transformed in that moment. The grace of God's love and mercy for us in physical sacrament given to you and to me, that we might gather together and receive that thing that not only do we just receive here, but we receive with all of the saints throughout eternity. I don't know about you, but for me, it gives me the strength to go on. It doesn't give me the answers that I seek all the time, but it does give me the hope and the strength and the peace that I need to live my life day in and day out. It gives me that voice inside of me that reminds me that I am lovable, that I am forgiven, and that no matter what I struggle with, no matter what I hold on to, my God loves me and has given everything for me. It's why I stand here before you. It's why I love this. It's an opportunity for us to gather and to be strengthened and to be united. So as I said at the beginning of our service, I will say again now, and you'll probably hear me say it later, it is an honor and privilege to worship with you this day. Whether you're here with us for just this one week or you spend the rest of your life in this community, please know that we are changed and we are better for it. This community cannot be what it is without you. You are what make St. David's what it is. And whether you're visiting or a member or somewhere in between, know that you are loved. And the doors to this place will always be open to you. This table will be set for you. I invite you to come and receive. I invite you to bring your questions and your doubts. And I invite you to be nourished by the blood and the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.